All right, y'all, welcome to the Scott Horton Show. I am the director of the Libertarian Institute, editorial director of antiwar.com, author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and I've recorded more than 5,000 interviews going back to 2003, all of which are available at scotthorton.org. You can also sign up for the podcast feed. The full archive is also available at youtube.com/scotthortonshow. All right, you guys, on the line, I've got the great Gareth Porter. He wrote all those books about Iran and stuff. Welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Scott. Glad to be back.
Happy to have you here. Of course, he's writing at the Gray Zone, and we have his gigantic archive full of everything he ever wrote for everybody at antiwar.com. You can find that. This one is also at the Gray Zone. It's called Dark Web Voter Database Report Casts New Doubts on Russian Election Hack Narrative. Welcome back to the show, Gareth.
Well, I'm glad to be on the show and glad to be talking about this story, which I think people will find very interesting.
Good. Yeah, I'm very happy to have you do it. And on one hand, I sort of anticipate that some people listening might think, why always with the Russiagate? Isn't that over? Didn't that end a year ago when the Mueller report came out and the whole thing fell flat and even the Democrats dropped it and started trying to talk up obstruction of justice because they didn't have a single bit of nothing about Russiagate actually in there to hang on to? And then even the impeachment was all about this Russiagate Jr., Ukraine holding up an arms deal thing, but had nothing to do with collusion with Putin to steal the election. And then, but right, here we are. It's not your fault. It's not my fault we're still talking about this. They keep bringing this back up like all the debunking never happened. And like everybody knows that Russia really did steal the election in 2016 somehow anyway.
Yeah. The problem here is that there's more than one part to Russiagate as a political myth in the United States. And I think the part of it about, the notion that the Russians had something on Trump and that there was coordination or whatever you want to call it, that is dead. The Democrats, as you correctly put it, did not bring it up, have basically ignored that for months now, for many months. But what hasn't been dropped, what is not dead, is the idea that they interfered with the election through the IRA, the Internet Research Agency in Moscow, in St. Petersburg, through their social media posts. And B, the one that I believe has always been even more poisonous and has bothered people much more is the idea that the Russians tried to hack into at least 21 state web sites that store information about elections and about, even more important, about the voter registration databases, or even possibly tried to get into all 50 states. And this has always been, I believe, the part of Russiagate that was far more toxic politically, that got into people's heads much more deeply and has had much greater that's why it's had more legs, I believe. And it's still very much alive. You hear people talking about it constantly. And I think that this is really what this story is about. And, the fact is, as we'll get into in a little bit more detail here in a moment, that there is no evidence whatsoever that the Russians had any role to play in any effort to hack websites that were state websites that had voter information on them. And I think that's the bottom line here that really is fundamentally important to understand.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing of it, right, is when computer geniuses talk to reporters and then reporters talk to us, it's a really bad game of telephone, even if they're not deliberately lying. So, in fact, I think at some points, at least, even the Department of Homeland Security had added a lot of disclaimers that said, well, we don't really think they broke into anything. We just had, somebody with a Russian IP address was looking at our site, you know, was scanning it for whatever was on the public face of it, kind of a thing, maybe.
I would not let them off that easy. In fact, that the Department of Homeland Security did accuse Russian intelligence, or they don't say intelligence, they say Russian government, in effect, of being behind the efforts to hack, and indeed the Illinois one they're blaming on Russia, so the Russian government. And only very recently have they begun to step away from that, even though it's not explicit. I think one can read between the lines of more recent DHS statements that they have now, they're no longer taking that line.
Well, I didn't mean to downplay, you know, the size of their claims in the first place, but I just thought that they had, if you looked closely, that there were these kinds of disclaimers included all along, too, that, at least maybe on follow-up questions, that, well, okay, what kind of hack are we talking about? Well, they looked at our website. Oh, okay.
I think you're right to use the word disclaimer if it's used very broadly. But what they did do in their initial statements was misleading, because in their testimony before a Senate Intelligence Committee in 2017, they said it was a potential Russian hacking. So that was a clue that, in fact, they weren't ready to say outright that they did it, but they managed to convey over and over again that the Russians were behind it. So that's why I am very firmly convinced here that the DHS was carrying out a deception operation politically. They didn't have any evidence to support it. They didn't, in fact, believe that they could make the case that Russia was behind these. But they did, in fact, convey that to the public. And that's why this lie has had such political legs, mm-hmm, for so long, really, since really August of 2016, when they first did an intelligence report, a draft intelligence report that was then leaked to networks that published stories that conveyed the lie. And ever since then, it's basically nothing has really been done to try to show the American public that it was wrong, to indicate to the American public that it was wrong.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you about the Libertarian Institute's latest book, What Social Animals Owe to Each Other, by our executive editor, the great Sheldon Richman. For decades, Richman has been explaining libertarianism to the left from the left. He makes a strong case that any honest liberal, progressive, or leftist actually should be libertarians, since in fact it is freedom itself that provides what y'all want. Richman argues the case for liberty and peace, the human spirit and social cooperation, for true liberalism, libertarianism, against the corrupt forces of statism, corporatism, and violence. What Social Animals Owe to Each Other, by Sheldon Richman. Now available at libertarianinstitute.org/books. Hey guys, Scott Horton here for Mike Swanson's great book, The War State. It's about the rise of the military-industrial complex and the power elite after World War II, during the administrations of Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and Jack Kennedy. It's a very enlightening take on this definitive era on America's road to world empire. The War State, by Mike Swanson. Find it in the right-hand margin at scotthorton.org. Hey, y'all, Scott here. If you want a real education in history and economics, you should check out Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. Tom and a really great group of professors and experts have put together an entire education of everything they didn't teach you in school but should have. Follow through from the link in the margin at scotthorton.org for Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom.
Well, and I like the... As you mentioned in your piece here, the New York Times story, Russia targeted election systems in all 50 states.
And at the worst. That's not the worst. Absolutely.
And if you're already a Russiagate truther and you hear that, well, then you know what that means, right? They're using Cambridge Analytica to brainwash you into opposing the Democrats when you probably used to love Hillary Clinton until the Russians told you not to.
Right, right. This is the most complete and most absurd extension of the lie that DHS began. So, but let's go back to the story that I've written about, which helps to further refute the lie. Basically, I think it adds another layer because what happened was that Kommersant, this independent Russian paper, published an article that cites a dark web statement by a hacker, a professional hacker, who is offering the Michigan voter registration database, as well as other state voter registration databases, for free to anybody who's interested. And so that's a bit of a twist on this story. And the reason is now that the hackers who had basically gotten these databases in the past, or maybe they were acquired in other ways, not by hacking, but by getting them from legitimate people who ordered them from the states directly, which you can do, which is part of the story here, that they had used them forever, whatever uses they had found for them, basically to sell them on the dark web. To whom? They sell them to scammers, people who are engaged in scamming vast numbers of people on an industrial scale. And they use this personal information to track people or to identify people who are most likely victims for their scams. So that's how these databases have been used for profit,
right,
by people who acquired them from professional hackers, criminal hackers.
You got to appreciate, too, how your security force is the weak link in the chain of your privacy and your personal information. And if some scammer wants to get your mom's maiden name and your former address and all of these kinds of things, the best place to get it is from the government, the people who supposedly are in charge of protecting you and your security and your privacy.
Well, there's another wrinkle here, which I haven't gotten to yet, which came up when this story was published, by Kommersant. Immediately, the state of Michigan Secretary of State responded saying, look, we have already, we've issued these, or we've made these available to the public, these voter databases, but we have deleted all information that's personal so that it can't be used for that purpose. And therefore, they're saying, this is a doubtful story. I mean, that was the implication. And then DHS itself and FBI weighed in with a tweet citing Michigan and adding their own view that, well, this is, not likely to be reliable, and people, the public, should not rely on this kind of story because we have not seen evidence of any effort to get into, or successful effort to get into, databases, state databases, this year. Well, the story itself actually cited something that would have happened before this year, so that wasn't really relevant. But in any case, there was a difference of view here about, whether this story was significant. And in fact, the fact is that it was significant because it was making a point that people were unaware of, that these databases had been used, whatever the source was, to basically, they were being sold to, as I say, these scammers for years. And now they whatever uses they had been able to find in terms of selling them to scammers had been exhausted. And now they're just making them available for free.
Right. And I'm sorry, we're right out of time. I got to run. But just to finish up here, when the head of the FBI is telling the Senate yesterday that, the Russians are trying to rig the election for the sitting president, everybody, this is the kind of stuff that he's referring to, right? This and the peace data thing, which is the subject of our next interview with Peter Van Buren here, this peacedata.net scam, all this. This is the kind of thin gruel that he's relying on to make these declarations again, right? They don't have anything.
So Just one point here that I want to make sure people understand, that the fact that these databases have in fact been made available by the states themselves is very significant, and people sure. don't really understand this, and it raises the question, what point would the Russians have in trying to break into these state websites if they can get the information for free through the states?
Well, they're trying to take control of your right. precious bodily fluids, man.
Right. And, you know, and so
trying to take over the world.
This is something. Just another reason to believe that there was absolutely no motive for Russia to do anything of the sort.
It's the missile gap. And the bomber gap.
Yes.
They're out to get us, Gareth, I'm telling you. They're gonna cross the Fulda gap into, there's another one, the Fulda gap. They're going to move right into West Germany any day now. I know it.
And there was this wonderful quote, which will take me 10 seconds to relate, which okay. is that the FBI head of counterintelligence being asked by the Senate committee, well, what would the Russians do with this? And he was clearly stumped. And he said, well, they would look at it to find out what these databases consisted of.
Yeah.
Nothing it, more be
in said, other words, yeah, he just no turned comment. Around in a circle and stood there.
No comment. I mean, yeah. That's rich.
Great. All right. Thanks very much, Gareth. Appreciate it, man.
Sure.
All right, you guys. That's the great Gareth Porter. I'm sorry I had to cut him short, but I'm late. But this is called A Dark Web Voter Database Report Casts a New Doubt on Russian Election Hack Narrative. It's at the Gray Zone and, of course, linked in the viewpoints at antiwar.com as well.
The Scott Horton Show, Antiwar Radio, can be heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, APSradio.com, antiwar.com, scotthorton.org, and libertarianinstitute.org.